Hebrews is a wonderful book. It is a book that many people stay away from, but it is a book that we need to study. Some people talk about how that it is written with such a loftiness, and it is. It uses a lot of Jewish things, illustrations and all to help people to understand that. But it is a great book for us to find out about. He starts out in chapter 1 talking about angels, and he talks about how that sums all that up with, in the latter part there. He's got those angels, loves those angels, but the one he really thinks about is those people that are part of Abraham's seed, the children of Israel. And he wants them, and by that he means all the people of the world. And they were trying to help us to see in the book of Hebrews that the old law was passed away. If you want to see that, you can go to chapters 8 and 9 and read that. And it helps us to see the law that was fulfilled and set aside and the new law that was started. The new law, that New Testament, to help people to know the right way to go and how to follow God and do God's will. In that new law, in the old law, it was mainly written to those that were Jews. But in the new law, it is written to Jews and Gentile. And it takes a while, really in the book of Acts to about the 10th chapter before the Gentiles are really brought in. And it is something that it took a miracle for people to see that. I think that with Paul and with others, or Peter and others, it took that miracle of seeing that sheet coming down and understanding what God's will was. And still, it was a time. We don't always listen to teaching the first time. Sometimes it takes a period of time for us to hear it and us to think about it, and then we're able to follow it. And so that's what we want to talk about a little bit tonight. But Hebrews 2, that's what I'm trying to get through here, is a wonderful little passage that helps us to understand some things. And I want you to see that. I'm going to be reading out the New Century Version. I really like the way it reads. Not saying it's any better than any other, but I like the way that it puts it more in a language that we can understand for us today. In chapter 1, he's talking about the great salvation here and trying to help people to see and understand where God places them. Because, you see, we need to know that God loves us. We need to know that more than anything else. Because if we know God loves us, we can tolerate the problems that we have to deal with in our life. We can tolerate other people. We can live with people in the church that may do things that are wrong and they may treat us wrong, but we're still going to serve God because He's the one we love. And we're going to love those people even though they may do us wrong, because that's what we're supposed to do. Look at how much God loves us. You cannot hold hard feelings toward anybody. You cannot hate anybody if you understand the love of God. It just will not work. If you understand that and you understand what God's forgiving you for, you've got to forgive others. You've got to forgive others. Listen to talks in this first verse here. So we must be more careful to follow what we were taught. Then we will not stay away from the truth. He said, you need to, don't drift away from the truth. People do not just one day wake up and say, hey, I'm going to quit following God. I'm going to quit doing God's will. It is a drifting thing. And we see that in the church, but we don't recognize it enough to help people. And we need to recognize that in a greater way, because it is easy to drift away. Here, just holding a little back, and before long, we just make the decision to hold it all back and do what we want to do. And so here he's saying, don't live like that. Don't conduct your life like that, because if you do that, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt those about you, and that's not what you want to do. He wants us to understand, don't drift away. Then he starts in chapter verse 2 through 4, and he's trying to help us there to understand that we can escape. We can get away from the things that are wrong and how to do that. Listen to what he says. The teaching of God spoken through the angels was shown to be true, and anyone who did not follow it or obey it received the punishment that was earned. Now, who's he talking about here? I think he's talking about the angels to a certain extent. I know he's talking about us too, but he's trying to say, look at what God did with the angels. They sinned. What happened to them? Some were cast out. They had to be. Why? Because they sinned. Now, if God did that to the angels, what's he going to do for you? If you're one that you are not willing to follow God, you're not willing to do the will of God, you're not willing to follow His teaching there, and we've got to understand, we got to obey the truth. Anyone who did not follow it or obey it received the punishment that was earned. God gives you what you earn. Now, please understand that. He helps us. He wants to save us. He wants to wash every sin we've got away. He wants to do that. But if we decide we don't want that, if we decide we don't want to go to heaven, and we want to follow what the devil has to say, and that may be, when you say that, you think of something real, real bad, but that's not it. It's just neglecting the Lord. It's drifting away from the Lord. He said here, you've earned that. God does not send anyone to hell. Understand that. We're the ones that determine if we're going to be there or not. How can we accuse God of casting us into hell when He gives us every way to be able to make our lives right? He gives us His Word. He gave us His Son. He did everything He could do. What else could He do? Some people are wanting a new revelation of some sort. They're wanting new words from Jesus Christ. Brethren, we're not following the ones we've got. Why do we need any more? We need to follow the ones we've got. And that's what he's trying to say here. You're earning this thing. You receive what you want. Now, if you don't want to be in heaven, that's fine. You don't have to go. But it's your decision. It's your decision. And we have an invitation at the end of every service, and we ask people to come forward if they desire to do that. That's their decision. What if somebody says, I don't want to do that? I don't want to confess my sins. I, as a child of God, that I've been washed, I've been immersed, I've been cleansed, what if I don't want to do that? Is God going to come down and force me to do that? Now, certainly we try to do that in the church to a certain extent, and that's not good for us to do. But we can't force people to do right. We can only encourage. We can only help them to see that. And that's what he's trying to help us to see here. Here's what, if God punished the angels, what's he going to do for us? If God said those people that were disobedient, didn't follow his word, that they were going to be cast out, what's he going to do for us? If those that were angels are done that way, what's going to happen to us? And anyone who did not follow it or obey it received the punishment that was earned. So surely we also will be punished if we ignore this great salvation. Now, isn't that what we were talking about? We're ignoring the salvation, and why could we expect God to do anything different? We cannot ignore that. The Lord himself first told about this salvation, and those who heard him testified it was true. The angels said it's true. The ones that remained faithful. It's a true word. It's from God. It's what God has to say. And I guess you could go on from the angels to the heads of the families, to the prophets, all the way down. They said, this word is true. It's right. God, verse 4, also testified to the truth of the message by using wonders, great signs, many kinds of miracles, and all, and by giving people gifts through the Holy Spirit just as he wanted. Remember the just as he wanted. Does God have the power to give people the miracle to raise the dead today? Yes. Does he choose to do that? No. Somebody said, why? Because he decided it. Some things we just take because God says it, and that's it. We don't have to question it. Sometimes we want to know every little detail, every little thing about it. But what we need to do is to listen to what God's trying to say to us and let him help us to understand this is what he says, just follow it. Sometimes I think we need to explain to our children why we tell them to do things. But I think you need to give them some jobs sometimes that they don't understand, that they don't know, and they don't see the end of it, and help them to understand the need to do it. Because sometimes we're not able to see the end. We just need to obey. We need to do what God tells us to do. Now, we're hung up about explaining everything to our children. That's great. It's good to do that. But are they doing it because they want to obey? Are they doing it because they see the reason to obey? You see, sometimes we don't see the reason to obey because our faith has not progressed that far. And so here it's time for us to say, listen, I'm going to do what God says because God says it. Well, why? Because God says it. That's it. That's the whole thing. I'm doing it because that's what God wants me to say. And he said, look, God has given us all these things to prove what he's saying. He's given us everything that we need to show that we need to be following his will. And that's all we have to have. Now, he starts in chapter verse 5 here. I don't know why I got on chapters tonight. Verse 5, and he said, I want you to understand about this thing of being human and this thing of who God is and who God is and understand the humanity of Jesus Christ. These people and we today needed to know that God sent his son in a human body. Now, there's religious groups that say he didn't really come in that religious body of Jesus. He would just kind of look like that, but it really wasn't true. Listen, he came as a physical person. This book, the book of Hebrews said that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He went through the same things that we went through. He suffered that. Someone asked one time in Matthew 4 when Jesus was carried out and he was tempted, was he really tempted? That's what it said. So I'll take it. They said he was going to be tempted. Was he tempted to have all the kingdoms of the world? Yes. Was he tempted to show the devil that he could get up on that high pinnacle and jump off and the angels are going to stop him before he hit the ground? Yes. If he wasn't, there was no temptation. It was there. He was human. We need to understand that. We need to understand what he was. God did not choose angels to be rulers of the new world that was coming, which is what we have been talking about. He said, we've been telling you. You go back and read chapter 1. He said, angels are great, but they're not the ones that God chose to rule. And he's trying to say the one that God chose to rule is Jesus Christ. In other words, you listen to Jesus Christ. You listen to what he has to say. It is written, verse 6, in the scriptures, why are people even important to you? Why do you take care of human beings? And it's a question to God, like Job asked. God, why do you take care of us? Why do you give us the things we need? Why do you bless us? Why are you willing to? Is it because we're such great people? No, that's not it. It's not because we're great people, but it's because of who God is. You made them a little lower than the angels. Here, we're lower than the angels. And you crowned them with the glory and honor. You put all things under their control. Look at the power God has given us. Look at the strength that God's given us. I mean, we can take nuts and bolts and glass and put it together and fly to the moon. We can do a lot of things in this world. We can build a lot of things. And people just go, wow. I mean, you look at some of these skyscrapers and understand how those things are made. And had a fellow that he was a crane operator. And he said, you climb up in that crane and said, the crane's moving 6 to 7 foot up there all the time. I said, it wouldn't move with me up there. He said, oh, yes, it would. I said, no, it won't because I'm not going. I know better than to get on that thing if it's that high and it's moving. God told me, don't get on that. I know it. You know, well, my daddy told me that, really. But what we've got to do is understand what God wants to do. Look at the power and the strength that he's given us. Look at how God's blessed us. And that's what he's trying to say here. Look at how God has taken you. You're lower than the angels. But he's given you power and he's given you strength. He's given you hope and he's given you encouragement. And he's put all those things under your control. He gave you all of that. Then he starts in verse 8 and 9 talking about some problems and the solutions to those problems. In the latter part of verse 8 here, part B, when God put everything under their control, there was nothing left that they did not rule. They had that rule over it all. Still, we do not yet see them ruling over everything. Well, now, wait a minute. God, we were supposed to rule over everything, but we don't see that he's ruling over everything. But we see Jesus, who for a short time was made lower than the angels, and now he is wearing a crown of glory and honor because he suffered and he died. Now, we've got problems. We don't see the solution to the end of them. We don't see the solution to what God is dealing with. We have to believe that. That's called faith. And we trust in God. We depend upon God. And so here, what he's trying to say is, here's Jesus Christ. He came in. He's done all this. And look at what God gave him. Was he faithful to God while he was on this earth? Yes. Did he do what the Father said? Yes. He said, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to follow my Father. And he did that. Look at what he received because of that. He received a crown, he received honor, and he received glory. Why? Because he suffered. God God knows we're going to suffer in this world. God knows we're going to have hard times in this world. And he recognizes that. And that's a part of us being able to have faith. If God took all your problems away, why would you have faith in him? Why would you trust in him? You don't have any reason to do that. See, we look at our difficulties as though we've sinned and done something wrong. Well, sometimes that's the case. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the case that somebody else has done some wrong. And so what we've got to understand is that God wants to bless us. And it's not because we're perfect. He blesses us because he knows what we suffer. Isn't that what he says about Jesus Christ? He will in just a moment. That he knows what we go through. He's endured what we've had to endure. And he was crowned and he was given honor. I know, what's that to us? If I do God's will, what's going to happen to me? Crown and honor. In heaven. That's what's going to happen to me. When I follow what Jesus Christ did. When I follow what he was willing to do. And so here we see the idea of God loving us and caring for us. We see the idea also of God giving that Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins. We know all, and we're all human, and we have all the problems and the difficulties we have to face. But Jesus Christ called us his brother. Look at starting in verse 10. God is the one who made all things, and all things are from his glory. For his glory. He wanted to have many children and share his glory. Why'd God create us? Why'd he make us? Hebrew writer tells us. He wanted people that would glorify him. He wanted people that he could also glory in. That's what he wanted. And so here we have this. He wanted many children to share his glory with, to give all these things that he has there. So he made the one who leads people to salvation perfect through suffering. He wants to give us glory. We've got to suffer. We're going to suffer. That's a part of it. But you see, we've got to understand this suffering is nothing. We suffer just a short time. How long is eternity compared to suffering in this life? If you suffer all your life, and some people do, it seems like things don't go right for them in their whole life. But what have they got to look forward to? There's a life to come. The person that has tried to help others and try to do for others, and they've been abused and misused, God's going to glorify them. Those people that have tried to teach others and they've suffered to be able to do that, God's going to glorify them. Those people that have lived according to his word, he's going to glorify them. He's going to help them. So here we have one that he understands our suffering. He knows what we went through, and he's going to help us. Jesus makes people holy. Ooh, verse 11. Jesus makes people holy, and those who are made holy are from the same family. He's getting this idea of family in here. The family of God. Be a good lesson. I should have saved this for the Friends and Family Day. But here he's saying this is a family of God. That's what he's trying to emphasize. He's trying to emphasize, and he's going to sum this up in just a moment and say, he's our elder brother. He's not just a Savior that's come. He's not just the Son of God. But he's our elder brother. You see that unity that's there? That unity that's found in him being that elder brother, him being the one that cares for us. So here we are. We're made holy from the same family. So he is not ashamed to call them his brothers and his sisters. He's not ashamed to say, these people are my brothers and sisters. How could he do that? We're sinful people. We do things that are wrong. How could he do that? Because of his love for us. Now, there may be people in your family that they may not be what they need to be, but you still love them, don't you? If you don't, you should. You need to, because they're no different than anybody else. They just need a little more love than other people. Now, I think the best illustration of that for us as far as humans are concerned is mothers. Mothers love their children. Now, this is the general rule. Mothers love their children. They'll do whatever they got to do. They'll sacrifice whatever they got to sacrifice. They'll endure whatever they got to endure. I mean, you just think about a woman having a baby. Hadn't had one, don't want to have one. If it depended on men, we wouldn't have any more. But they go through that, put their life on the line for that. and put their body on the line too, trying to lose that weight and all that other stuff and all the other things that go along with that. They do that. They love those children. And those children can do things that will hurt them, but they still love their children. And they're going to keep on doing that. I've seen mamas that they knew that their children were not good. They knew their children weren't living right, but they loved them as though they were the kings of the earth. That's the mother. That's how God is toward us. That's how Jesus Christ is toward us. He loves us and He cares for us so much. He says, verse 12, "Then I will tell my brothers and sisters about you. I will praise you in the public meetings." God, Jesus is going to talk about it. He also says, "I will trust in God." And he also says, "I am here, and with me are the children of God that God has given me." Since these children are people with physical bodies, Jesus Himself became like them. Jesus became physical. Why? Because He wanted us to see that we're a part of His family, that we're His brother. He was born into this earth. It would be different, and maybe God could have done it that way, but God didn't choose to do it that way. If Jesus had been the Son of God and not had a physical body. But God wanted us to know, "I like you. I like the way you're made. And I understand what you're going through. And I've got one that is so close to you." Did Jesus have to come and show us that He could follow the law? No. He didn't have to. Why did He do it then? Why did He go through all that? Why did the Son of God go through all this to be hung on a tree, to be slapped, to be beat, to be made fun of, to have to run away from people that were trying to kill Him? Why did He do that? He wanted to show us, "I'm part of you. I'm a part of God's family, and you're a part of God's family. And I can call you my brother." And He is our elder brother. You know, sometimes on the playground, some bullies will get a hold of a little fella and they'll start giving him trouble. But I've known some that big brother would come over there and they wouldn't do it anymore. They knew better than do it anymore. Because that big brother would step in. And He would correct the problem. Now, I'm not saying Jesus comes in and corrects our fights that we get into, but He does. He does. And I think most of us have seen that and we felt that. The Him helping us to overcome those things. And so here we are. Jesus Himself became like them. He did this so that by dying, He could destroy the one who has the power of death, the devil. He wanted us to see, you know that fellow you're afraid of? You know that fellow that has dug a hole over here and it's called death? And he can put you down in that hole and you can be covered up with dirt? 6 foot under for us in our society. He said, He's not going to do that to you. Now He can put this old body in there, that's okay. But He's got a soul too that God gave Him that God's going to receive back. That's what we've got to understand. He would destroy that and free those who were like slaves. We can go over to Galatians and see there where Paul talks about us being slaves. We were bound up. But Jesus Christ came and paid the price for us that we could be relieved, that we could be put out of that. And we became the slaves of Jesus Christ. We became the one that was following Him. And free those who were like slaves all their lives because of their fear of death, because they were afraid of dying. And what's after this? What's after this old world? God's explained everything we need to know about that. What we don't know is not going to change us. There's always something we're going to want to know about death. But what we've got to do is to learn to trust in Him and learn to depend upon Him, because we are His brethren. He loves us. Jesus wants us to know that He's our brother and He cares for us. Clearly, it is not angels that Jesus helps, verse 16, but the people who are from Abraham. He says, not just Abraham as far as the Old Testament is concerned, but the children of Abraham. He's trying to help the Jews to understand, don't go back into Judaism, that were Christians. And here He's trying to say, here's God who came and He's trying to help the people from Abraham. He's trying to help the human race. He's trying to help people to know who God is and what God wants Him to do. For this reason, Jesus had to be made like his brothers and his sisters. This thing of brothers and sisters coming back up again. And he uses this several times. These brothers and sisters in every way so he could be their merciful and faithful high priest in service. He did all this. He went through all this so that he could be the one that could say, follow me. You want to go to heaven? Get on my shoes. Get on my back and you can go to heaven. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. Don't judge yourself by other people. That's foolish. Judge yourself by Jesus Christ. You say, oh, that's worse. No, it's not. You see, he's holding our hand. He's leading us. He's guiding us through his word. You see, it's not based on all that we know, all that we do. That's not it. Some people think that we're saved because of what we do. We're saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood. That's the reason we're saved. None of us are good. None of us are righteous, right before God on our own. But we're righteous because of what our elder brother did. I talked about the boys in the playground, and here this little young guy is out there, and they're about to beat him to death, you know. They've been bullying him, and his big brother steps in. He said, you won't do that anymore. I'm not going to allow that. Now, if you're going to get him, you got to get me. And those guys look up at him and say, we don't want you. And that's what the devil's going to say. He don't want Jesus Christ. He tried to handle him in Matthew 4 and other places, and he couldn't deal with him. He couldn't handle him. That elder brother's there, and he'll protect you. He'll put his arm around you, and he'll lead you where you need to go, and he'll guard you, and he'll watch over you. Look at verse 18, if you would. And now he can help those who are tempted because he himself suffered and was tempted. He was one who went through all these things and endured all these things. He was tempted without sin because of his love for us. He was one, and he wants us to know, you don't have to be lost. There is nobody that has to be lost because Jesus Christ came and basically did it all. You say, well, that doesn't, you know, if he did it all, I don't have to do anything. Well, yeah, we got to follow him. We got to do what he says. If we don't do that, we're not with him. We're not a part of him. We got to be a part of his family. Now, the only way that I can see in the scriptures that we can be a part of his family is by being immersed in water and going through that death and being born again into the family of God. That's what we got to have. And you got to be that. If you're not a part of the family of God, if you hadn't heard, if you hadn't believed, if you hadn't confessed Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, and been immersed in water for the remission of those sins, you don't have salvation. You're not a part of the family of God. Jesus called it the new birth. You've got to be born again. And just like that fellow there in John 3, we don't understand it as well as we need to. We can be born again. We can be forgiven of our sins. We can be cleansed. We can have every sin that we've committed cleaned, washed off of us. And it's by his blood, by what he shed there. So why are we still in sin? Why are we still have sin on us? Why are we not willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and follow him? Why? That's the $64,000 question. Why? There's no reason why. There's no reason why. You say, wait a minute, I'm going to do it again. How many times will he forgive us? How many times will he forgive us? Every time we repent. You say, oh, I can't do that. I do this twice and three times a day and four times a day and five times a day, and I go to God and say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Let me tell you something. You do that enough and you start looking before you leap. You start looking before you sin, and you don't sin as much anymore because you know that God's there and God's seeing you and God wants you to be saved. You know that. So here we are. What do we do about it? Sit where we're at, not worry about it anymore, not do anything else? Or do we do something about it? What do you need to do about it? You know, I don't. I don't try to look at people and judge what they're doing. If it's something against God's word, I show them what God said about it. It's not maybe how I feel about it, but that's what God says about it. Please look at your life. Please respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, because in that we have forgiveness of our sins. Please come as we stand and as we sing.